2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Let's get moving with Maria. Inspiration to spend a few minutes each day to get moving on the small things that can make a big difference in your life.
Thank you for joining me today for Let's Get Moving. Today we are talking about hydration, and with temperatures over 100 degrees in Utah this week, it's an important topic. Joining me right now is Gina Bria. She's an anthropologist, founder of the Hydration Foundation, and co-author of Quench. And Gina, hydration's not just important in these hot summer months, it's really important all year long. Tell us about the importance of staying hydrated.
Well, if you understand that your body, that all your body tissues, every cell inside of you is basically a tiny water balloon, you start to get the idea that we are really bodies of water, and that flow system of continually saturating and nourishing it is how we stay alive, literally.
I think most people know, hey, we need to drink enough water. I'm not sure people understand what's enough water.
Well, I'd like to talk about this from an anthropology point of view and share very quickly my research in desert communities around the globe. I went to every different area and looked for strategies for hydration in the dwellers who, of course, like many of your people in Utah, don't have access to liquids. So my big research question, Maria, was how can they possibly be better hydrated than we are and yet not have access to the liquid? Or let's say it another way we all would recognize, they were not guzzling 8 glasses of water a day. And this became a really urgent research question for me. And what I discovered is quite surprising, which is they were using the water locked inside of plants in order to hydrate themselves. So they were, if you can think cactus or aloe vera, and especially tubers that were buried under the ground on their migration routes. And this plant source of water, which is actually a more concentrated form of water. I mean, if you look at an aloe plant, you get right away that jelly-like quality. So what I would really love to help your listeners understand is that if we include more foods in our hydration strategies, we're going to be better hydrated. Even a plant like a leafy green, that leafy green, like a salad you would eat, is 98% water. And it's water that's set up by nature to be absorbed directly into our tissues and cells.
What you're talking about is so important because I think we've all been conditioned to think, hey, if I'm just drinking that 8 glasses of water a day, I'm doing my job. But a lot of us don't drink 8 glasses of water a day. We think we do, but I'm not sure that we're even getting there.
Well, the 8 glasses a day, so I then, of course, once I stumbled on this, I was like, oh, my God, the world needs to know what's going on. And the ironic part of this story is that while I'm doing this desert research, I'm getting phone calls from my mother's nursing home saying, I'm so sorry we had to readmit her for dehydration. And this is a chronic condition among the elderly. And I was just literally in crisis, like, how can I be holding the answer on one side of this equation? And on the other side, yet my mother is here, you know, hospitalized yet again. So to give you a very quick recipe that I devised out of this story, this real life story I was in, I actually took chia seeds And I sent them to my mother's nursing home, and I asked them, look, just stir in a teaspoon in her morning orange juice, because the volume of gel released by those chia seeds mimics the same kind of plant strategy like the aloe vera gel, and that extended her ability to absorb that hydration versus the 8 glasses a day idea, where it literally can transit through our system like a flash flood in less than 10 minutes, pull out the very electrolytes and nutrients that help us stay hydrated, and get you deep more. You can be more dehydrated by guzzling more water, especially the compromised tap water that we have to deal with today. So switching to foods and knowing how important those are, if I could just get that information to your listeners, I will have done great work today.
Okay, leafy greens, maybe I understand. Chia seeds, I never would have thought. So now I'm wondering what other foods we should be eating to, you know, reach that optimal hydration.
Right. Well, it's hot right now, I know, but things like bone broth, foods like, of course, all the fruits and vegetables, cucumbers, watermelons. But why it's so important, not only are they thirst-quenching, but they're already packaged by nature to be absorbable. And this is what's different about trying a liquid strategy alone or partnering it with foods. So even putting cucumbers in your water bottle is going to be an additional percentage of helping you get better hydrated than just liquid alone.
Okay, I thought that was just to make it look pretty or taste a little better.
Not at all. Eat those cucumber slices when you get to the bottom of your water bottle. And again, these are very powerful strategies that have been used by cultures, not just desert people, all over. You know, a great salsa is a super hydrating strategy. The tomatoes, the peppers, the combination, and then if you add a little salt in there, the salt starts an electrical chain within the water molecule itself that gives it an electric charge. It almost makes a magnet or a battery out of it that allows it to get into your tissues and give you more energy. And, you know, sodium issues, of course, are a big deal today. People talk about it a lot, but I'm talking about pinches of salt, which I've done all that research to discover it's far under the 1,500 milligrams that people worry about with on a low-sodium diet. If you're worried about sodium, just find some electrolyte powders. Add them to your water. Add them to your tea. Find ways to think about hydration a little bit differently. And please don't ever drink a naked glass of water again. It is not good for you. It's going to just flush out your system, and we really want to partner with the way nature goes about hydrating us.
So when you say not naked water, how about water with a lemon slice?
Absolutely. First thing I do every morning. Just love it. And not only does the lemon give that flavor to it, but it releases magnetic electric charges into the water, which allows that water then to be silkier and more easily absorbed by your tissues. And that's what I mean by don't be drinking a naked glass of water anymore. And of course, you know, I wrote about this with Dr. Dana Cohen. She's an integrative physician in New York City. When I brought this desert research into the medical community, I did not get much, traction until I finally found Dana. And she was like, of course I know all of my clients are dehydrated. All my patients are coming in with high sodium in their blood, showing that the water isn't getting into their tissues, even though they're drinking like crazy. And this food strategy is very important.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Part of how we're going to get out of this problem, you know, is eating something like an avocado is a very valuable strategy for the liquid within that material and then the absorbability of it, and the quality of water you're getting is going to be, you know, blessed by nature, made by nature.
Okay, so my avocado toast is helping me in more ways than I thought, besides the fact that I love it. So what about fruits, though? What about things like watermelon and strawberries and such?
Yeah, let me tell you about an apple, because this is such a straightforward visual for people. But an apple is more hydrating than a bottle of water. And I know that's a shock to hear, but let me make the case for why. Of course, there's water in the tissue of the apple. And in fact, every cell of that apple is a tiny packet of water. It looks like fruit flesh to us, but it's already set up by nature to be super hydrating. And then in addition to that water locked inside each of the cells, there is the pectin, which is a way to stabilize the water so that when you eat that, that water is now going to be time released. In a slow drip irrigation style, very different than the way we are guzzling water, which doesn't get absorbed, just flashes through us. So that apple is set up to bring water into your system, slow down its release over time, and on top of it, it's filled with the nutrition and the electrolytes, which are then delivered to the system through the hydration in that apple. Wow. Thank you, nature.
Yeah, so the apple is one that I wouldn't have thought of either. I mean, watermelon for me comes to mind, right? Because water.
Sure,
watermelon.
Right. Because we see it. But actually, if you think of the cell structure of the cells of all the plant material, each one of those cells is literally a tiny circle of like jelly-like water that's more concentrated and ready to be released into our system over time. So you can see how important I feel this message is. This is why I founded the Hydration Foundation, why I wrote the book Quench, which has 50 recipes in it on all sorts of strategies for hydration, sauces, soups, soups, even ice cream, you know, something like a chia pudding with that coconut milk, plus the chia seed together to help create the absorbability and stability, slow release mechanism. These are just great recipes for especially helping our vulnerable elderly, often who are on high medication, and prescriptions are very dehydrating. You know, doctors should tell you, if they're going to tell you to take 2 aspirin and a glass of water, they really should be telling you to take 2 aspirin and 2 glasses of water, or 1 aspirin and 2 glasses of water. We don't get that kind of advising. And we are all dehydrated. We feel it. We're not, you know what, the quickest sign that you're dehydrated, you know, people always ask me, how do I know I'm dehydrated? And I'm like, well, are you crabby? Do you feel creaky? You know, you go to bed at night feeling deprived and kind of like, wow, not much happened today that made me happy. These are all signs we've lost our buoyancy, right? Our juiciness, you know, our malleability. And that brings me to motion, too, because I know you love to talk about that topic. And movement is the second half of hydration. You can get that hydration in you, but if you don't gently move your body through the day, you aren't distributing that liquid through the tissues. The way our body gets hydrated isn't just the material that goes in. It then has to move throughout your system. So if you can do something like even get your elbows behind your back for a minute, you're going to be pushing, pressing by fluid dynamics, hydration into the tissues, you know, near your spine or near your, if you have that whole frozen shoulder area. This gentle movement is how we rehydrate the tissue. So So gentle movement is, and I'll give you a quick one that I use constantly. Just dropping your chin to your chest, really simple, just lowering your head down, your chin to your chest, raising it back up. You have just moved the fluid through your entire spinal canal. That's a whole spinal canal flush. And now you've brought in new hydration to your entire nervous system, all connected through your spine, brought a flush into your brain, get out old waste, move in new hydration. It's as simple as that. But that is how the body is designed to hydrate us.
Okay, I would never have thought of that. I've done that 5 or 6 times now while you're talking. But let's, for 1 second, you talked about what dehydration looks like. But for me, I want to know what you think optimal hydration looks like. What difference is that going to make in our lives?
Okay, so I'm going to start you off with a statistic that's quite shocking and will help set the frame. 2% reduction in hydration, 2% hydration loss, but you're probably already there, leads to measurable cognitive loss. We can actually watch your brain waves and your executive capacity start to lower as the dehydration rises. So optimal hydration is getting back that 2% and even getting above it through these strategies like gentle movement, a high plant diet, a positive exposure to sunlight at just the right amount for who you are. These are electromagnetic light sources that come in and help our water inside our body become more hydrating, essentially, have more electromagnetic charge. So optimal hydration starts to feel like you get out of bed without the stiffness. Your vision becomes more acute because your eye sockets are literally filling up with this water, this gel that you're getting enough of now, your body can distribute it. You have more resiliency about the emotional traumas that we're all facing. The stress is deeply dehydrating. And these are strategies to try to get us in the other direction.
Right. I think oftentimes I might have a headache and it's more because I'm dehydrated than anything else. Mm-hmm. I'll think, I'm not stressed. What's the deal today?
Well, you know, we're rushed at all times. It's just a rush to get through the day, to get everything done, especially for women and kids, school kids. I mean, just think about what their schedules are like. All of that pressure and rushing is deeply dehydrating on the chemical level. It's releasing the cortisol, the adrenaline. All of those are chemicals that take a lot more hydration out of our system than they add. So if we're alert to the fact that we need to be caring for ourselves as bodies of water, moving through a day, for ourselves,
hang on a second. You dropped out for a second there. You said moving through the day, and then you kind of dropped out. We missed what you said there.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, yeah, I just don't want to miss what you said.
Right. Well, moving through the day, thinking of yourself as a water entity, a water being. You need replenishment and being alert to that and knowing that you could just grab an apple or nod your head while you're in the car, you know, give yourself fluid movement. That's going to make us all much more resilient and able to, you know, be with each other in a more resilient, positive way. It's amazing what hydration is. We really are deeply connected. All our systems are run on hydration in the end. Our circulation, our brain, even our eyesight, as I said, our muscular stiffness, cardiology, immune system. Pick a system in the body that isn't based on liquid flow or dynamic liquid flow. So if we have that information in our head, it's not about guzzling that 8 glasses. It's about, okay, how do I move as a water being through my day? Give myself points of oasis and replenishment.
Okay, I have to go back to one thing you said. So I get the movement. I get the different foods that I can eat that can really help. But go back to sunshine.
Yeah,
because I think of sunshine. Yeah. I mean, I love sunshine. Don't get me wrong, but
right?
I think of it as dehydrating.
Mm-hmm. Of course, we do. And, of course, a long exposure is and I'm now going back to my desert research and going, wow, those people had a lot of hydration strategies for coping with the extremist environments that they were in. But a proper amount of exposure to sun, and that, of course, is going to depend on your skin type and how light or dark you are. These are electromagnetic signals from the sun made by nature to, we evolved with the need to be exposed. What sunlight does to the molecules in our body, all those water cells, is help coordinate them so they signal well back and forth to each other. So not only is hydration about being wet, you know, literally being a moist creature, but it's also about cell signaling and the electromagnetic information that's passed around the body. And that all depends on the sun, exactly like it does for plants. You know, they can't really grow without exposure to the right amount of sun.
Gina, this has been a fascinating conversation. I have learned a lot. Any final thoughts that you would like to leave our listeners with?
Please know that you are a living body of water. You're encased by skin, but every one of your cells is a tiny little balloon of water. And if you know that about yourself, you think about your aches and pains differently, you think about your headache differently, and you think about, well, what are my strategies for recovery? Then you don't go to the aspirin, you go to the beautiful glass of water with a squeeze of lemon in it or a splash of apple cider vinegar. You give yourself a little gentle movement and some rest and relief from stress of your day. That's the way to be hydrated.
My guest today, Gina Bria. She's an anthropologist, founder of the Hydration Foundation, and co-author of Quench. And Gina, thank you so much for being here today.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for helping me spread this important hydration information.
And thank you for listening to Let's Get Moving this week. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on Instagram and Facebook so that you can stay updated on all of our latest episodes.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.